Welcome back to Head Games with Hall of Fame coach and now general manager for the Buffalo Bills, Marv Levy. Marv, this is in our two or three jerks category. That was Jerry Kramer, who's a Hall of Fame human being with the Lombardi years. And you look at Tony Romo on the field before the game with Carrie Underwood and T.O. and his usual stuff. And then you look over at Tom Coughlin and the Strahan issues and all the discussions and the criticisms of the teams that seem to have divided those teams. Certainly they have not performed consistently. And you look over at the Redskins with our friend Al Saunders at offense and Greg Williams at defense, and they've stayed together considering how bad a year it's been. But tell us, as you look at those three teams in that division, what is the biggest challenge for a general manager and a head coach to keep the players from saying things that actually hurt the momentum of the team?
Well, I had been advised once by an outstanding coach, George Allen, be careful of that guy that's going to win you a game and lose you two. And why does he lose it? Because he's disruptive, because he's self-centered, because he's not team-oriented in the most team-oriented game, what should be, that there is in football. So somebody once asked me, how do you motivate those players? And I finally learned it's easy. You select only intrinsically motivated players. And you win their confidence, Nick, by being a straight shooter with them. Don't try to con your players. Have them realize over a period of time that what you're teaching and what you're conveying is to their benefit of them and the game and their teammates.
John Clayton writes in on ESPN.com about chemistry, and you look at what Sean Payton has done with chemistry with those Saints, and Eric Mangini in that difficult environment in New York that I certainly personally experienced. Jeff Fisher, of course, with the help of Vince Young there in Tennessee. Lovie Smith with a better cast of characters, but certainly overcoming significant issues on offense. And then you go to Andy Reid, what they've done in Philadelphia. And I think Belichick in New England, considering how many great players and leaders that they lost. And Brian Billick in Baltimore. And of course, Marty Schottenheimer. Why do we keep forgetting about Marty Schottenheimer? What is the single greatest coaching accomplishment this year in the league, in your opinion?
Oh, which coach? Well, if I had to vote for Coach of the Year, and boy, that's really a strain if you're limited to one. The job that's been done so well, in my mind, has to be, given all the difficulties they had and a new coach coming in, would be in New Orleans. So if I'm casting a ballot, it'll go for Sean Payton.
What is it about him that has, from day one, you heard Joe Horn talk about it, that they had that confidence going in. I remember Marty Schottenheimer, and certainly we had a different kind of confidence, even beginning in the first preseason game in 1989. But Sean Payton has done it in an environment where there was so much negativity. Have you picked up on anything that he's done? Is it organization? Is it charisma? Is it communication skills? Is it not having too many coaches like the 22 that they have with the Redskins?
Well, first of all, I think that is too many. You can forget charisma. You know, it's the ability to teach, the ability to work well with others in the organization, and honesty with your players and all that are there. Now you want players, if you have the ability to, who want to be taught, not who know it all. And you're going to make some mistakes, and there's going to be a flare-up now and then. It's a game of high tempers, and their tempers might flare now and then, but it's patched up quickly. It's not going to be a perfect situation, but those are the three qualities, I think, of every outstanding coach: the ability to teach, work well with others in the organization, not be a my way or the highway guy, and be a straight shooter.
Marvin, our last minute, we promised to let you go because Lord knows you've been great to us, giving us all this time today. We're joined by Dr. Stephen Solomon, who actually went to Dartmouth College with me and has written a book called Intimacy After Infidelity. And I'm trying to make the connection that for a lot of players and for a lot of people in society today, the free agency, if you will, translates in all aspects of our lives. If you can't build trust on the field, off the field in your career, it's pretty hard to have it in your relationships. Any comment from you about the most important thing beyond honesty, which is building that sense of trust, fidelity, loyalty to the team, where guys will sacrifice through pain, through heartbreak, through all of the different unpredictable things that happen to an NFL team?
Well, first of all, it is a dedication to what they do, a caring, but it doesn't have to be, super sweet, but a caring about those with whom they associate, and a respect for the game that they play. And then they're able to overcome hard times. You're able to bounce back from adversity. You're able to realize that you or the people you're with aren't perfect, but you're striving for a similar goal. Those are off the top of my head reactions to your question, Nick.
Well, I'll say this about you, Marv Levy. You certainly engendered loyalty from me and players because you were a genuine person and you had a consistency. And maybe you didn't have charisma in the way you define it, but you had charisma in the sense of the ideals that you had, and you walked your talk every day. We appreciate it and what you represent for the NFL.
Well, thank you very much, Nick, and I'll close by saying it was an honor to have been your coach.
God bless you, my friend.
Appreciate it,
Marv. Steve Solomon. Loyalty.
Dr. Lowry.
Fidelity. How much of a connection? We're going to be joined by Seth Joyner to talk about these things on and off the field. The fact that certain coaches can have all the schemes in the world, but for whatever reason, some coaches get that level of commitment, that level of sacrifice others can only dream of.
Well, that's right, and it's a lot about how they earn it, both in the loyalty that they show, and as Coach Levy was just talking about, in how you see their level of commitment. When you see a coach really committed to his team and to you as a player, it makes you want to return that in kind and to really make him proud and feel good about giving you that commitment and that loyalty.
Well, tell us about what you think are some connective themes in terms of infidelity in relationships. When players like a TO show a lack of fidelity to their team by what they blab about and the excuses, at this point they have so little margin in terms of having any kind of trust with their teammates and with organizations. Tell us what insight you would have in terms of what you've learned from looking at other kinds of intimate relationships.
Well, you know, I remember being on your show during the football offseason and talking with Seth Joyner. We were talking about TO and the situation and predicting that he was going to have the same type of problems in Dallas. And, you know, there was some question with Bill Parcells, who's such a strong coach and has had such success before. The problem is that player, Terrell Owens, is who he is, and he's the common factor in no matter what situation he's in, and the issue that he brings, that it's such a problem for any relationship, whether it's a team sport or a one-on-one relationship, is that he can't be trusted to put other people first. People who are self-centered, self-absorbed, who get lost in themselves and don't think about the impact of their actions on other people or put much weight on it, are people that are going to betray other people time and again and let them down. And so that's the number one thing, that when you see someone who is trustworthy, it's someone who's able to not only be aware of what impact their actions will have on those around them, but puts a high priority on other people's feelings and other people's needs and taking care of other people as well as taking care of themselves.
I look at what happened with Tennessee. Another reason why I think Jeff Fisher has done, along with Vince Young, such a tremendous job with Norm Chow there in Tennessee, is the fact that they had broken that bond, that kind of core trust, in the way that they handled the Steve McNair. Steve McNair could have been a tremendous mentor to Vince Young. He could have had another year in Tennessee. Maybe he didn't have the talent around him. Maybe it was time to go. But the way it was handled showed so little respect for a player that was a leader, for a player that everyone in the NFL says sacrificed his body time and again, worked and played through pain unlike virtually anybody else in the league, and yet they showed almost no sensitivity, not in some, you know, touchy-feely sense, no kumbaya sense, but just the sense of respect for the player and what he's done for this franchise.
Absolutely, and I think it was no surprise that they opened the season 0-5 because all the other players saw that and saw that, you know, the leadership from the top down wasn't treating someone who probably most of, if not all the other guys on the team, really looked up to. And Steve McNair, as you were saying, a real warrior, and they treated him, you know, they've just put him under the bus now. You know, I don't know if we have all the information, but it certainly sounded like it was a situation where they didn't treat him with respect and didn't treat him with appreciation for all that he had given that franchise. So they were just terrible the first part of the year, and now they're starting to come back. They're starting to regain their own identity as a team. But that's what really happens in relationships, any type of relationship. When loyalty isn't shown, you're not going to get any back.
We're talking to Dr. Steven Solomon about his book, intimacy after infidelity, and we're joined by Seth Joyner. And Seth, we talk about this all the time. You can have the right schemes, but without the fundamentals in terms of technique on the field, tackling, we mentioned it earlier in the show, you're in trouble. But also there are fundamentals in terms of relationships. When a coach calls out a player publicly, rather than doing it, you know, in private when a player needs it, that's another thing that can really hurt him.
Well, I think it depends on who the player is. You know, back when I played, it didn't bother me that much because I understood why it was done, and I knew what to take from it and what to let go in one ear and out the other. But, you know, you're dealing with so many different personalities. You have to understand your players as a head coach and figure out which guys, you know, you can publicly chastise and the ones that you have to call into your office and sit them down in front of you and get your message across.
When we come back, we're going to talk more with Seth Joyner and Dr. Stephen Solomon about, from that point of view, who builds the biggest loyalty? Who is the coach of the year? We'd like your opinion, too. Give us a call at 800-878-7529. 800-878-7529. Get you some tickets to ticketsnow.com. We'll be right back on Sports Byline, Head Games Radio, and Sirius Satellite. Stay with us.